Well, let's pray and then we're going to work through these. You've seen these slides at least twice in 21 years. Okay, so not to wear you out on it, but I like to use them regularly. They're really good for communion. So, but no notes. I've handed out notes for this. There's things underlined, but we're not going to use them today. So let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the picture of communion. And I pray, Lord, that you would, as we observe communion, help us to get the benefit out of it. Lord, I don't believe we can ever exhaust the ideas that you relay through communion, but certainly you can remind us of key ones today, and we pray that you'd help us. Thank you again that Margie could be here with her family. I know she's been talking about this and looking forward to it for so long, and it was such a blessing to have her here, but also her family here as well. Lord, bless our study and our review. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's get started here. I'm going to go fairly quickly. The bread. We're just going to look at the two components, the bread and the cup, right? The bread. The truths that are around the bread are multitude. But we're going to cover some key ones here. The first one that is the most probably obvious and most talked about, and it should be, it's the center, it's the primary, is that Jesus gave his body for us, for salvation, to save us from our sins, right? To be that sin payment for us. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 and 24 says, "The Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" John 3, 16 and 17, you're very familiar with this. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish." And perish would be the full extent of being in the lake of fire forever and ever, right? "But have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be" what? "Saved." God sent Jesus to rescue us, not to condemn us. But listen, if you reject Jesus, the result is that you remain in condemnation, right? We're already condemned. Number two, we are a part of Jesus' body. Another part of that Paul brings out in 1 Corinthians 11 that's so often missed, and I didn't even get it till I was a pastor and started going through it over and over, because they usually focus on a few verses and miss the context. But we're part of Jesus' body. We're connected together because we're connected to Jesus, right? We are connected together. Here is a passage of Scripture that I came across years ago now when I would approach communion brand new every time I did communion. I would read in different ways and study in different ways. But I read through 1 Corinthians. I'm like, what? How come we never talked about this? Right? Here's 1 Corinthians 10, 17. "For we, though many, are" what? "One bread and one body. For we all partake of that one bread." Since we're all part of Jesus, we're all together in one unit. We're in one body. That's the body of Christ. And so we're connected. That brings us with the responsibility of being connected, but also the privilege of being connected. We get ministered to by one another. And we're responsible for one another, and we're responsible to hold each other responsible, right? For walking with God. 1 Corinthians 12. Which is after 1 Corinthians 11, brings this out. It says, "For as the body is one," sounds like he's talking about the same thing from two chapters ago, right? And he is. "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body." Maybe he has a point to make. "So also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into" what? "One body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit." We're baptized into one body. We're immersed. We're plunged into the body of Christ when we believe. Baptism relays that to some degree, right? We're placed into the body of Christ, and now we're what's true of Christ, his death and resurrection, is now true for us, right? He died, so we died. He rose, so we have resurrection power. Romans 12:5. So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. So there's a connectivity here. I think the idea of, as long as you go to church somewhere sometime, and people, they do church in their camper, or they do, you're not doing church. Because we're one body and you have to assemble together. Right? You can't do church at home. You can study the Bible at home. You could probably listen to preaching at home. But you can't do church at home, because the word church means what? Assembly, gathering together, right? We're one body, and the body is meant to be together. So there's that connection there, and we're responsible to and for one another. Number three, we are to care for Jesus' body. So we have salvation, we have connection, we have service. Because we're connected, we're to care for one another. It's not something we should do, it's something we must do, because we're part of the body of Christ. We are assigned to do this. It's an element of learning to be mature. It's like growing up in your home and you learn to care for your siblings. First, you're immature and selfish. But as you grow older, you become more mature and you start caring for people. You start carrying some of the weight around the home. You're responsible for, you know, it's the major rite of passage when a baby can actually throw its own diaper away. Right? You know what I'm saying? That's a major rite of passage. If you haven't had children yet, you'll rejoice. You'll rejoice, right? But I'm saying, but as you get older, you know, throwing your diaper away is not going to cut it. Right? Hey, you learn to go to the bathroom on your own or whatever, but hey, there's things you need to help do and be responsible. You dress yourself and, you know, there's a progression there. Well, the same thing is true as a believer. You learn to do your part, as it says in Ephesians. 1 Corinthians 12:24-26. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism, if you will, division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. You have to be together to know that. Right? You can't know about people's needs if you're not around the people. How about Ephesians 4? And this is what I refer to. Ephesians 4:16. From whom the whole body... You think the Bible has a lot to say about this. Right? From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what? What? What does it say? Some people... It says every joint supplies. Every one of us here has responsibilities and jobs. It may be different, right? Depending on our capacity, our ability, our age, our health, all of that. But every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which, what? What does it say? Say it out loud with me together. Every part does its share. Every part of the body does its share. That means... Who has a share? Who has a share? Every part. Every person, right? And guess what the effect of it is? Causes growth of the body for the edifying of self love. I would encourage you to look for ways to serve. Challenge yourself. What can I do if I have the capacity to do more? Because God has you here for a reason, to do your share. And your share is probably might be more than what you're doing. Right? It's a share. And again, I liken it to being in your home. No one expects a new believer, a new baby, to do stuff. You know, when my son Nathan was born, I'm like, good, now I don't have to mow the lawn. Now, eventually I was thinking that. Right? Then Nathan would go out and mow the lawn, and he would help the family by doing his share for what he could do with for his age. But everyone does his share. As you grow up, you do more. Right? You do more because you can do more, and you're growing, and you learn and are able to do more. So these are the what I call the commitments of the bread. I just put them in statements of affirmation, okay? I reaffirm my belief in the Savior. When we approach the bread, this is what we should be thinking. I reaffirm my belief in the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who paid for my sins by dying on the cross and rose again. Okay? That's the first commitment that goes with it. Because the bread indicates that, this is an affirmation for that. Second bullet, I recognize my responsibility to share this good news with others, right? It's meant Jesus died for the sins of the whole world, the Bible says. Not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. 1 John 2:2. I recommit to sacrificially consider and care for the body of Christ, this local church of which I am a part, right? Communion is intended not to just get you in some kind of morbid state of sadness, which when I grew up, that seemed to be what they were trying to do. And I think that has that isn't what it's meant to do at all, right? It's meant to remind you of the good that God has accomplished and to motivate you in that way. All right, this is a little different, but I'm going to have the men come forward. Because we're doing this in two parts, okay? We're going to distribute the bread. If you would hold on to it. Pastor Jim came in late because he was washing his hands. He's going to go wash his hands right now. So he came in late because he was finishing his tea then. Now he's washing his hands, which is fine, by the way, right? So hold on to the bread, and then we're actually going to read the commitments out loud before we partake, okay? So I have Jonathan and Lynn and Pastor Jim. Sean's not feeling very well, so otherwise he'd be doing it instead of me. But I'll help hand it out. So hold up one of those, Pastor Jim, if you would. Remember, we are one bread, one body. So we hold up the matzah, okay, to indicate we are one bread. We're one individual piece. We're all one body. Now Jesus then took it and broke it. Oh, break it up in small pieces. See how it breaks up? It's like a cracker. It's flour and water, basically. So as we hand it out, just take a piece, pass it on, and hold on to it, okay? All right, before we eat this bread, let's read through, we'll say out loud, the three bullet points that we showed, okay? So let's do that all together now. I reaffirm my belief in the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who paid for my sins by dying on the cross and rose again. Second one here. I recognize my responsibility to share this good news with others. And the third one, I recommit to sacrificially consider and care for the body of Christ, this local church of which I am a part. And again, Jesus has brought this up and he says he assigns expanded or new meaning to this just so that we'll remember. And there's so much more that's involved, but these are key ideas. So here's the cup now. Let's just talk about that. We already mentioned here, Jesus secured a new covenant through his blood. That's what the cup represents. Notice here, 1 Corinthians 11, 25 and 26. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." Right? "This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Both are intended to be reminders, object lessons, maybe not even object lessons, just ticklers, I guess, is what it is, to get you to think about it, right? This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Number two, we receive privileges from the new covenant, right? All the things that, even in the Old Testament, they never got to experience, never got to enjoy, or even didn't know about. Here's a few, Hebrews 9:15, "And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. The old covenant never got anyone an eternal inheritance, right? It was a temporary prompting to walk with God that way. We have responsibilities in the new covenant, right? There's things that we're blessed with, the access to God and all the church of God, if you will, the family of God. But there's also responsibilities. Look at Hebrews 10, 19 to 25. It says, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus." And there's all this Old Testament picture here, right? The holiest place. Now we have access directly to God by the blood of Jesus, right? This is part of what the new covenant entails. "By a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith," or belief, right? "Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Right? We're to even engage more often as time comes. Now, here's the commitments to the cup. Bullet number one, I affirm the new covenant that Jesus secured through his own blood. It's hard to even say the new covenant because there's so much involved with it. I think Lewis Sperry Chafer identified like 50 different benefits from the new covenant. So when you say new covenant, it's a mouthful. There's all these things that come with it. I acknowledge the privileges that come through this new covenant and seek to learn of them and grow by them. Privileges like you have the indwelling Holy Spirit. That was something the Old Testament believers never had. You have the sealing of the Holy Spirit, something the believers of the Old Testament never had. You have the filling of the Holy Spirit in a way that, since the Spirit is always there, you can live by the power of the Spirit of God all the time. You have the complete Word of God. You have the family of God that we have already mentioned. You can talk to God directly to Him. And you have grace in a way that was not portrayed or relayed in the Old Testament. The third bullet here, I commit to the responsibilities I have in the New Covenant to fulfill my responsibilities, including personal purity, a steadfast testimony, and faithful gathering with this assembly, right? We're saved for a reason. The new covenant is not just a blank check to go do what you want. God saved us on purpose, for a purpose. And as we preached about several weeks ago now, that little mini series on purity, purity is at the core of it, personal purity, and then outward testimony, and then faithful gathering, which helps to accomplish that one-to-one serving and interaction of ministry there. So, all right, let's distribute the cup now. All right, let's read out loud the commitments of the cup, okay? Bullet number one, all together. I affirm the new covenant that Jesus secured through his own blood. Bullet number two, I acknowledge the privileges that come through this new covenant and seek to learn of them and grow by them. And the last one here, I commit to the responsibilities I have in the new covenant to fulfill my responsibilities, including personal purity, a steadfast testimony, and faithful gathering with this assembly. You can set your cups anywhere. Thank you, gentlemen. Abigail, Lamb of God, or is this Mary? Mary.